How's your COF? Not only do you have one, I know something about your COF. I know that everybody in this room has one. That much I know for sure. I also know that your COF has been given to you by God. Yours is individually God-given. I also know that your COF needs you. That you're not in their life by accident. And one of the reasons they need you has eternal consequences. Your COF. Anybody guess what the letters stand for? Circle of Friends. We all have one. And God has placed them into our life so that we can build redemptive relationships with them. Now, some of you just figured out that this message might have something to do with witnessing. And you are about to switch channels. And a little earlier than usual, you're going to start thinking about lunch. And I realize that. But hold on for just a couple more seconds. One guy, in writing about witnessing, said that most Christians think that sharing our faith is God's punishment in our life for accepting the free gift of salvation. And unfortunately, a lot of believers feel that way about sharing their faith. I know something about us as a group here this morning. I know that 95% of us, on average, don't like to talk to people we don't know. That we're actually glad when we don't have to talk to people we don't know. That 5% of us are extroverts who can't wait to talk to people they don't know. Those people drive me crazy. Because I'm one of those 95%. I hate talking to people I don't know. I have a really, really difficult time with that. I'm like 95% of us. I'm one of us. You're one of me. I hear guys talk on a, getting on a plane and they pray that God will put somebody next to them that they can witness to. I get on a plane, I want the seat to be empty. I just have a very difficult time interacting with people that I don't know. Well, what I'd like to share this morning is hope for us 95%ers. That maybe there's something in Scripture for us that have a hard time talking with people. In fact, in a few minutes, we're going to look at a verse that's actually going to tell us that if you don't get asked to share your faith, you don't have to. Wow. We're going to look at a verse that's going to explain to us that the only time we have to talk about the Lord to somebody else is when they ask us to talk to the Lord about them. Now, that takes a lot of the pressure off because you're not banging on somebody that doesn't want to hear what you have to say. They've asked you. They're not going to be as upset when you answer their question. So maybe you don't want to change to another channel quite yet. But there's a couple of steps that we need to develop if we're going to impact our circle of friends. Step number one is to develop friendships with non-Christians. To spend time getting to know them and to who they are. Now, God's already put a circle of friends into your life. When you think about it, Jesus got a lot of criticism for spending too much time with the unholy and the immoral and the unclean. Now, who accused Jesus of that? The religious leaders of his day? The people who thought they knew God accused Jesus of spending too much time with people who needed God. Take a look at a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will, and look at verse 9. Paul addresses this problem in the Corinthian church. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anybody who claims to be a brother or a sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. We've reversed it. We separate from the people on this list because they're sinners and they make us feel uncomfortable. And we associate with the Christians who are greedy and swindlers and idolaters. And that's what Paul was saying the Corinthians were doing. They were hanging around with Christians who were living in sin. In fact, he calls them so-called believers because maybe some of them weren't. And they were separating themselves from the people who need the Lord. And Paul said, hey, you got this backwards. We ought to be spending time with this group and not this group. The problem is, the longer you become a Christian, the less non-Christians are in our circle of friends. The person who's a Christian for like 6 months, two years, they know a lot of non-Christians because before they came to Christ, they didn't know any Christians, or only one or two. But the longer you become a Christian, the more you associate with Christians and walk away from your non-Christian friends. Now, we were talking about this in Sunday school today, and one of the people pointed out that when they became a Christian, all their non-Christian friends left them because they had come to Christ. Well, we can't do anything about that. If we become a Christian and people don't want to associate with us, then go find another circle of friends. Because you can't force somebody to like you. I try. I try to get people to like me. It don't work. I can't force people to like me. So if they reject you because you're a believer, that's part of the offense of the cross. And sometimes you might lose some really good friends that way. And that's part of the offense of the cross. I was teaching at a Bible college, and I had a secretary who was a believing Jew. And her parents and her family disowned her. And she was marrying another fellow from our school, and her mother refused to come to the wedding, refused to acknowledge it at all. Why? Because she had come to Christ. Well, the day of the wedding, unfortunately, her mother does come, and her mother is drunk. And it was really difficult for the bride, as you could imagine, on something like that. And that's the offense of the cross. I mean, that poor lady didn't do anything except come to Christ. And her family rejected her. Well, if that happens, I'm sorry, and that hurts, I know. But that is the offense of the cross. But what we sometimes do is we leave our non-Christian circle of friends. Because, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, don't do that. If we get out of balance, if we spend too much time over here in fellowship with other believers and not enough time over here. Now, we don't do this. I realize this is out west. But what happens over here is if all we're doing is talking to each other, unfortunately, we start criticizing the church. Because all we're doing is spending time with Christians. And you can have too much Christian fellowship. You need to balance it with people who need the Lord. So when we get together, we play a game. You know, the game is knock the church. And you sit around the living room, and everybody in the circle in the room has some criticism about the church. And you just go around the room and you play knock the church. Then one wise guy says, wait a second, are we doing any better? And the game ends. The game ends. As soon as we start looking at ourselves. And unfortunately, that happens in churches when its people spend too much time in what one author calls the holy huddle and not enough time representing Christ to a group of friends. See, there has to be a balance. And God needs us to find that balance. Because in the church, we need each other. But we need each other to build each other up, to encourage one another, to minister to one another. It's why God gave a whole thing called spiritual gifts. So that we can equip each other to go over here and represent God and His people. But it's difficult for us to develop these friendships sometimes with a non-Christian circle of friends. Now, we have lots of things in common with these people. We share hobbies. We share sports in some ways, crafts, job, grandkids, meals. Let them help you do something. There's lots of ways that we can move out of the holy huddle and move into a circle of friends who need the Lord. Now, if we do that, then we need to live before them in such a way that says something about God to them. Now, here's this verse that says, don't witness to anybody if they don't ask you first. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. I call this the 95%er verse. Because you 5%ers, you don't need this verse, believe me. And thank God that you are there. And thank God that you don't need this verse. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The issue in that verse is revere Christ as Lord. That's the key issue here. And it's not automatic. Because we come to church, that we acknowledge Christ as Lord in our life. There's a difference between a religious habit, an active daily submission to the Lordship of Christ in our life. There's a difference between just going through the the religious motions and saying, Lord, as I go through this day, I really want to be your person. I really want to submit myself when I'm tempted. I really want to rely on the Spirit of God to do something in my life and empower me to say no. There's a huge difference. And if we're going to impact other people for Christ, it has to start with who we are. That we revere the Lordship of Christ in our lives. Even in the midst of crises, even in the midst of trials, if we spend the right amount of time in the holy huddle, if we commit ourselves to developing some spiritual disciplines in our life, when the tough times come, we can handle it in such a way that Christ is still Lord in our experience. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You lose a loved one, grief is tough. Grief is hard. You have to walk through it. But if we have the spiritual disciplines in our life, you walk through it with the Lord. Not just in a pity party. You know, Jesus gave the parable that when the storm hits, if the foundation's not built, the house crumbles. You don't build a foundation in the middle of a storm. You react to the storm. And if we're not building the foundation now, when the storm comes, we're not going to react in a godly way. We're not going to react under the Lordship of Christ. And there's one thing I know for sure for every one of us. There's a storm coming. And if you're not in one now, thank God and hang on. And just pray that the foundation that you've been building through reading, studying, or meditating on the Word of God, through prayer, through fellowship, through worship, through being willing to share our faith, if that foundation isn't being cultivated in our lives, then when we live in front of our circle of friends, we don't have anything to tell them. In fact, we're bad news. Because if they find out we're Christians and we're living like non-Christians, that's bad news. That hurts the gospel. It doesn't help the gospel. So even in the midst of trials, flesh out. Allow God to flesh out Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 6:13, Paul says that this should be a daily experience. Continually submit the members of your body to the Lord. Don't continually submit to sinful things. Coming to grips with the relationship that I have with the Lord on a daily basis is the key to whether I even want to share my faith. Is the key to whether I allow God to get me over my fear of sharing my faith. It really does come back to the first part of this verse. Separate Christ as Lord. You know, Jesus spent 3 days securing for us eternal life and the forgiveness of sin. Good Friday, Saturday, Easter Sunday. The rest of the time on earth, he was showing us what God is like. He was unfolding to us who He was, who His Father was, and He was unfolding to us, discipling us and His disciples to follow Him. When we move into this circle of friends, that's our first job. Separate Christ as Lord, unfold to them what God is like. You know, Scripture calls us fragrant aroma, salt, light, and Paul says that he's a living letter, known and read of all men. So what God wants us to do is be this aroma, be this salt and be this light, be this living letter that non-Christians can turn the pages of our life and they can see something that creates a hunger in them for what we have. And creating that hunger is the work of the Spirit of God in their lives. But seeing our lives is part of our submission to the Lordship of Christ. How we flesh out what God is like. Now, in Acts 16:25, Paul is in jail in Philippi. He's beaten, him and Silas, and they're bloody, and they're in prison illegally. And it says that they're, as they were praying, they sang. Then there was an earthquake, and all the prisoners got loose. And the jailer went to Paul for an answer. The jailer didn't go to the guy who was cursing them. The jailer didn't go to the guy who was cursing the magistrate and the soldiers who put him in jail. He went to the guy who was playing the music of his life under the Lordship of Christ, who was praying and singing and not saying anything about the jailer or the jailer's origin or his grandfather. He was praying and singing. He was playing the music of his life. The life of the Lord. And he asked him for the words to the music. That's what 1 Peter 3:15 is telling us. It says, live before them. Develop relationships with them. I had a father-in-law that was a great guy. One of the nicest non-Christians I've ever met. I wanted to relate to him. I wanted to love him as a father-in-law, but I wanted him to love me as a person too and as a believer. Pat's father was an alcoholic. Now, thank God he was a mellow alcoholic. I mean, there was no punching and abuse, but he was an alcoholic. He was a mellow alcoholic. And we'd be over visiting the family, and he would say to his wife, I'll go out and get some bread and milk. So he said, you want to come along? So, sure, I want to come along. He didn't want to go out and get bread and milk. And he wanted to go to the bar and have a shot and a beer. So he says, you want to come along? Sure. So we get to the bar that he frequents, and he would say, come on in, I'll buy you a Coke, we'll play some shuffleboard. Now, let me put a parenthesis on this, okay? I've never had a drink. I literally have never had a drink of alcohol. I have no idea what it tastes like. I grew up with alcohol in my family. It was just one of God's protections in my life. So being around alcohol does not bother me at all. I could care less. Now, if you have an alcoholic problem, I suggest you not go into a bar with anybody. Okay? But I wanted my father-in-law to know that I accepted him for who he was because God did. And I wanted to develop a relationship with him where he could come to Christ. And I wanted to be his friend, not just his son-in-law. I wanted to be his friend. And we'd go in and he'd buy me a Coke. Thank you. And then he would clean my clock and shuffleboard all the time. As all I'm doing is playing the music. I love him. Now, the end of the story, years later, he comes to faith in Christ. And basically stops drinking. Starts coming to the church and to a church and when he was at our house to our church God used a lot of things to bring him to Christ. I hope it was one of those things was that I showed him some love because he needed to read my life. Now, somebody else could handle that situation a completely different way and it would be fine. But I wanted to live before him and show him that he needed Christ and that I loved him. Develop friendships with non-Christians. Live before them in such a way that Christ is Lord in what we do. Then the rest of the verse says, be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. Verbalizing our faith. Now that's where we choke on that sometimes. You know, we sing, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory to each other. This is the sticky part, when we actually have to verbalize what we believe. When we hear the questions non-Christians ask us, sometimes they are asking us to say something about the Lord, and we don't even hear it. I'll give you a perfect example. Russ is out in the yard last week. Neighbor walks by and says, hey, what's good in your life? Oh, really? Why don't you just ask me to tell you about my faith? Why don't you ask me to tell you about Jesus? Because that's what you just did. See, did he know he was asking for the words that went with the music? No. But Russ knew he was asking for the words that went with the music. Your boss says something to you. Appreciate the job you did on this. It was really a big, good help, a good job. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You can say to your boss, thanks. Basically, you're saying, praise be to me. Boss, glad you recognize you got a great employee here. Praise be to me. Or you can say, thanks, Bill. I'm glad you appreciate the time and the effort I put into it, and I thank God for the ability to do that. Now you're saying, praise be to God, to your boss, for the ability to do what you did. See, you're taking the focus off of who you are, and just for 30 seconds, you're putting the focus on who God is. You're taking the praise, and you're including God in your acceptance of the praise. You say, well, how is that witnessing? Well, that's laying the foundation. It's laying a groundwork. And you do that with your circle of friends over a period of time. They're going to come right out and they're going to say, hey, how come you live the way you live? You know, they'll find some other way that we need to recognize that in our lives. In our church in New Jersey, fortunately not out west, we had a chiropractor in the church. Pat went to him, I went to him. Thank you, Father, he gave us free service. But him and I became friends. I don't know why, because I grew up in Philadelphia and I'm a Philadelphia fan, and he grew up, and his favorite team was the Boston Celtics. And they were my enemy in basketball. I hate the Boston Celtics. But that was his favorite team. But we developed a sports relationship. And I would go for an adjustment. I would always go at the end of his day when I was the last patient, because he just wanted to talk sports. Because he knew I had coached college basketball and stuff. He just wanted to talk sports. And we would. And we, you know, it was okay with him. He didn't care. There was no other patient out there. We'd talk 15, 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. We would just talk sports. And then he'd get together with some other friends, and they'd go out, and on Saturday afternoon they'd shoot some hoops, and I'd go out there and embarrass myself and try to shoot some hoops with them. And at one point in this relationship, after talking about sports and talking about the Lord and talking about church and talking about my faith and why I do what I do, God worked in his heart, and him and his wife came to faith. But it started talking about the Boston Celtics, and it ended up in a baptismal tank as he gives testimony to his faith in Christ. But he became part of a circle of friends. Now, there's other people that we have related to over the years and witnessed to over and over again that haven't come to faith. So the last thing in the world I want you to really think is that everybody you share your faith... Now, we have some very, very, very good friends that we've witnessed to over and over and over again over the years. And, and what we're doing is praying that God would bring other believers into their life so that maybe somebody else saying the same tune would get a different hearing. There's hope for us introverts. There really is. If we take serious the Lordship of Christ in our life, we can learn how to pick up on the opportunities to say something, something little, something big, about our relationship with God. We can learn how to share. Now, I admit that you 5%ers, you just wasted the last 30 minutes because you don't need to hear this. If you're willing to share, if Christ is Lord of your life, you will have opportunities to share, and you'll share, and you'll witness, and God bless you, that's great. But the rest of us need help. And I think 1 Peter 3:15 gives us the help that we need. But the key is that by an act of our will, we habitually commit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ, that our relationship with God is more than a religious habit. That's God's plan for us. The Holy Spirit's been given to us to empower us to do this. We need to allow God to work in our life as we move out into a circle of friends. Let's pray.